Yes, O Lord, you are in your holy temple, and we are here with you, and you with us. Bless us as we sing your praises. Bless us as we listen to your word read and preached and sung. Bless us, O Lord, and be with all less fortunate than we. Now be with us especially as we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. Will you stand? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Today is, of course, the first Sunday of April, and as is our tradition, we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. As always, and I like to remind us of this, we understand the table behind me, where the Holy Sacrament is, we understand that to be the Lord's table. It's not a United Methodist table, which means that everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is invited to partake of the elements. Today, we will use the walk-by tradition, I like to call it. So you'll come the center aisle and then split off toward the, receive the sacrament. Then split off on either side. Remain at the altar to pray if you would wish. Leave your offering in the altar rail and then depart to your pews using the outer aisles. So that particular way we will use today. Now hear now the invitation to the Lord's table. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Hear also the prayers of intercession. Shall we continue to be in prayer? Lord God, you have heard our corporate prayer of confession. You have heard the words of forgiveness and being absolved from our sin. We beseech you as we approach your throne of grace, O God, to look upon us as individuals, as a church, as a town and community. Look upon us as a nation and as members of the community of the world. And as you look upon us, you will find all kinds of issues that we ask your guidance with. We ask your balm of Gilead, your healing powers. We ask your forgiveness for where there is conflict, where there is separation, where there is simple sin. We know, O Lord, that you do not like those elements of humanity. Therefore, in our corporate prayer of intercession, we beg you to send your Holy Spirit to all those dark and darkening places on the earth. There is so much disease, O Lord. The disease of the infants is terrible. We are so frightened by it. And to think that a lowly mosquito is a carrier. We ask your blessed presence upon all who are affected by this virus. Lord, you know of the wars, as do we, which are all over the globe. Ethnic wars, religious wars, wars of terrorism. We ask your presence with those who would do evil to their fellow humankind. We ask, O Lord, your blessings upon our political process. Lord, it embarrasses us to realize what is going on as people vie for the highest office of the land. We are embarrassed as our neighbors of other nations look at us and say, "What in the world, America? What are you doing? What are you doing to each other, candidates? Are any really fit to lead this magnificent country?" Dear Lord, you have blessed us in the past as a nation. You have blessed the world as a universe. So we do beseech you, send forth Jesus, that civility can once again be regained in our political process. Send forth healing power for those that are ill, those who face a very guarded future. Dear Lord, send forth your comforting power for those who are bereaved and are grieving. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together as we sing with the choir. This time, I would like for the boys and girls to come forward. I have something to show you and to talk with you about. Would you come? Well, good morning. How are you folks? Good. I want to show you something. Now, Wayne, our organist, gave this to me around Christmas. And see, it is a candle. And we can light it up, but this is a very special candle in that it smells a certain scent. Now, we're not going to light it right now, but I want you to smell this wax and tell me what you think it smells like. What does it smell like? What do you think that is?
Christmas. It smells like Christmas.
Well, it does. Yes. I smell things like that before at Christmas. Christmas. Terry, what do you think? Get another sniff. Well, I'll tell you what it says right here.
It says it smells like salted caramel popcorn. Don't you think that's a good Christmas present? Yeah. I believe that'll eat, won't it? Well, let me ask you something now. This is what is called a scented candle. Have you ever walked into a kitchen and smelled food cooking? What kind of food do you smell cooking from the kitchen? Popcorn, well, yeah. Popcorn really smells good, doesn't it? Well, what about roast beef? What about hamburgers? Is it good? You smell them cooking? Uh-huh. Well, that is called a scent. And a scent is something you can smell. You can go outside and smell the flowers. You can go outside and smell when people have cut the yard. And if there are wild onions in the grass, you can smell wild onions from the grass. Now, boys and girls, you can't smell the Holy Spirit, but you can see it. When you see people helping each other, have you ever seen anybody helping somebody? Did you fix your hair or did somebody else fix it? Did Miss Terry fix your hair? Now, she fixed it and it's really pretty, isn't it? Why do you think she fixed it? Do you think she loves you? You think? Well, I'll tell you what. That means the Holy Spirit has let her love you. Because love comes from God. And what about you, dude, that pretty shirt of yours? You like that shirt? I do too. If you lose it, it'll be in my closet and I'll probably wear it. Not. Oh, okay. You got a motorcycle on the back of that. Do you like it? You like that shirt?
I wear it all the time.
Yeah, you would, I see. You'd wear it all the time, wouldn't you? I've had shirts like that. Well, who gave you that shirt? She did. Do you think she loves you? Well, you can't smell the gift of a shirt, but you can see it. You can't smell the hair unless you've got hairspray on it, but you can see what she did. And what we're supposed to do for Jesus is when we see love, we are to say, that is God's presence. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of scent. And smell. It gives us anticipation of what's going on. And thank you for the gift of love, for the joy of sharing your spirit with each other. We can see that. We can feel that. Dear Lord, let us witness to that as a gift coming from you. Amen. And thank you all very much for coming up. Amen. The scripture lesson for this morning is found in John chapter number 20, verses 19 through 31. So let us hear the word of the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked in fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. 1 week ago, last Sunday, we celebrated the most important day in all of Christendom, Easter. That great day where the disciples found that Jesus was not dead. He had been raised from the dead. And the stories that abound about people seeing Jesus, about Mary of Magdala recognizing him as the same person he was, even before he died. We sung the hymns. We shared the joy. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And we had a wonderful crowd last Sunday. We had folks we hadn't seen since last Easter. And it was tremendous. And we hope they had a good time and we'll see them next Easter. And it's easy to be cynical, but I'm just calling it the way I see it. You know what I'm saying? And God loves them too. But we miss them. We do. We miss them. Went home after having lunch with friends. And we did our usual Sunday afternoon. The sort of thing we had the television on, actually. And I don't know if Virginia watched it or not, but that's what I call white noise. And I went to sleep. I want to take a poll. How many of us sleep on Sunday afternoon? It's this pretty widespread habit of not just mine, is it? Well, it's very relaxing, isn't it? So I awakened later in the afternoon and I pulled out my trusty phone and I started looking at the news and baseball scores and all that other good stuff. And then I came upon a Facebook post that said my friend Brian Trammell had died earlier in the morning. I read it again and again and again. Brian was only 58 years old, and he had gotten up as usual, went downstairs to the basement to do his morning exercise, and collapsed and died. Well, I thought, good gracious, alive. And a few hours later, I called his lovely wife, Zaina. We had a prayer. You see, I had known the Trammels for 22 years. I was the pastor for their four children as they grew up. He, a prominent attorney, and a very, very wonderful father and husband. He chaired our church council during some very tedious times when we were remodeling the entire structure and replacing the roof and the HVAC and doing a lot of stuff. He chaired that board. So I felt a very significant loss. And all during the week, I would flash back, Brian has passed. And I began to feel like the disciples must have felt when their really good friend and teacher was killed. And yet they had had some people that said they saw him and talked with him. So later in that first Easter evening, they had gathered, locked doors, and they were feeling that sense of loss in a huge way, even as I felt it in a distant sort of way, because I knew Brian and know his family very, very well. There is a sense of loss and sadness when we lose people that we love, is there not? And it just simply covers us like a fog or like some type of scent that comes our way. And you look and other people are feeling the same way, and you're so very sad. The disciples felt that loss. What were they going to do? No doubt they discussed as they sat together behind those locked doors, should we stay together and run the risk of the Jews catching us and doing what they did to Jesus, or should we split and go in any and every direction, hoping for survival, and meet again soon? No doubt that's what they were talking about as they felt that pall amongst them, the feeling that I've really lost somebody special. When all of a sudden, there Jesus was, right in the middle of them. They looked at him, they rubbed their eyes, they reached, they touched his robe, and before they could get there, he said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now that's a profound saying, peace be with you. What is peace? Is it the absence of conflict? Well, it could be. But in this context, with Jesus saying, peace be with you, Jesus refers to the peace that passes all understanding, the peace of our soul, that we don't have to be beaten down by events around us, or for that matter, events inside of us. Now let's think about it. How many of us this morning have peace within our soul? Or are we preoccupied with things we've got to do? How many of us steal away for an hour to worship once a week and come and have peace? Or we come together and we're just simply pulled in every direction and we're anything but peace. peaceful inside. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I can imagine that life affects most of us about the same way. We can't ever be still and make the mind go blank, because it won't. Something creeps in. Many of the times, early morning, I'll lie abed and I say, I've got to go back to sleep. I've got to go back to sleep. I need more sleep. And then one thing comes in, another thing comes in, another thing, another thing, another thing. That's not peace. Have you been there, done that? So Jesus came, his presence with them. He says, peace be with you. Then he showed him his hands and his side, where the spear had poked him and it gushed out with blood and water, as if to say, see, it really is I. I'm not a ghost. It is I. And then he said something very interesting. He breathed on them. Breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a change of understanding. The wind and the Spirit have always been looked at as identical in John's Gospel. The wind and the Spirit, same Greek word, pneuma. So he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's the third person of the Trinity. First person is God himself. Second is Jesus, the Son. And the third is the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them and he said, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you tie or bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What's that going on? It's talking about sin. It's talking about lack of peace within our minds. Whatever the Holy Spirit looses, sets us free from, or sets people free around us, that will be set free in heaven. In other words, the disciples are becoming an agent for God with the Holy Spirit coming from God, being God. They are to go out and they are to witness to the risen Lord. Well, that was a pretty tall order. And he disappeared, and they said, wow, what'd you think of that? What are we to make of that? So they were stunned. They were quiet. Even as I was quiet, contemplating Brian's passing so suddenly. And then Thomas came. Thomas wasn't with them. He's called Didymus, which is meaning the twin. He had a twin. But I like to understand he may have had twins inside of him, meaning he could easily have been, like many of us are, conflicted, because we can argue every side of the point of view and we sometimes are stifled because we're arguing with ourselves and we can't get much done because we can't decide. But anyway, the twin, whatever the meaning of his name, had a brother, sister, twin. But he is very, very skeptical. What? He was in here? You're out of your mind. I saw him die. You think? Well, you can believe what you want to, but unless I put my finger right here where his nail was and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. Now, many of us are exactly the same way. It is called doubt. Many of us use reason to figure things out. And this is good. But you have to have faith before you can use reason. You have to have faith that what you're going to be working on is worthwhile and worth the effort of rational reflection. So faith and reason go together. Last night, I and many of you watched some of the ball games. We sat there and we watched a very prominent team be destroyed. 44-point loss. Could you all believe that? The greatest loss or victory, margin or spread, in the history of the Final Four. Villanova beat Oklahoma. And you saw a tremendous team literally fall apart with the pressure and the talent of Villanova. Wow. That makes no sense. Then you rationally reflect upon it and you figure out why it happened. Because there are, as we say, reasons why this team wins and that team loses. So we're using reason all the time to parse everything from a ball game to our faith. That is life. Thomas is betting with his mind that Jesus is staying dead and is not being raised. And he uses rationality to back it up because he wants to touch something. He wants to touch the wound in his hand and his side. The disciples say, "Can't do anything with you, bud. We saw it. If you can't believe it, that's your issue." The next week, they'd come back together. And you know the story. Jesus appears. And he walks up to Thomas and he says, here, put your finger in the nail hole and put your hand over here at my side. You can see the wound. Come on, Thomas. And Thomas says, "My Lord, my God." What a profession of faith. Now Jesus says, "If you believe because you've seen me, blessed are those who have not seen yet. They come to believe." And that puts us in that category. Because we believe. Yet we haven't seen Jesus. But if you include the work of the Holy Spirit, you can see Jesus. And just like with the youngsters in the children's message, lovely hair, that young lady, which you did, Terry, is because of love. Love was present. And that young man with a motorcycle on his shirt, somebody got that. I don't think he bought it. Terry, you got picked again, sweetheart. I'm sorry. Do you love those kids? Can you believe she loves those kids? I believe she does. But don't you see, she believes in love, and that is a gift of the Spirit, and it is seen. You can, with your eyes and my eyes, we can see that she loves those youngsters, and what we are to do is witness to the fact that there is love present, which means the risen Lord is very active through the Holy Spirit. This is a profound message. But faith can occur and must occur before doubt can show its head. I'll give you an example. I received a phone call late last night. A very good friend of ours, protege of mine from Hiawassee. She's been here, she's worshiped here, Brittany Gregg. Brittany called me to tell us both that she got a job for which her graduate professor had recommended to this person who breeds Arabian horses in Loudoun County, that she would be a tremendous trainer, that she could do the work because of her work record at Hiawassee in the barn manager position. Well, she was interviewed from 5 o'clock until 10 o'clock when she called us and she says, "I got it." I mean, "You got the job, Britt?" "I got it." Now, what does Brittany know about breeding Arabian horses. Nothing. But yet she was selected by the owner to run that part of the horse farm and to work on up into senior management of all those horses. One of the horses sold for $100,000 a couple of weeks ago. I said, I hope you remember your friends, Brittany. But she has the possibility, you see, of going right on up that responsibility scale. She doesn't know anything about what she's doing now. But the faith that that owner had in Brittany. You see what I'm saying? She had faith Brittany could do it. And she's turning 26 in a couple of weeks. At that age, and it's incredulous. The owner went on faith. Brittany went on faith. She wants to try it. She is risking. The owner is risking, but with her work ethic, with her brains, with her love of horses, it was a very good risk to take for everybody. That is called faith, folks. We have to look at the end of the story to see if the faith was warranted. We all know how faith works. We also know how doubt works. And just the opposite was true when I went to the funeral with Virginia yesterday. Went a little bit early. Because I wanted to see Zaina and the kids before the service. When I saw Zaina, she literally fell apart with sobs. And she kept repeating, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. That's right. They have two little grandchildren. It's not fair. And so I looked at her straight in the eyes and I held her by the shoulders and I said, look, it is not fair, but we've got to go on faith here because the reality of Brian's passing is in our face and all over us and it is grinding us down. Now is the time you need to put into practice what you learned in Sunday school and church all those years. She looked at me speechless. I said, I'll call you for lunch later in the week. We'll see how things go. So now, when you've got all kinds of questions about why, questions that really can't be answered. The rational reflection upon why Brian or anybody else dies prematurely is not there. You can't figure it out by reason. But you can move beyond it through faith. And that's what the resurrection is all about. That's why we worship. That's why Easter. That's why our birth and death society come twice a year. It's because they want to be reminded of the faith that all of us live. Of the faith and hope and love that all of us share. Because a world filled with reason as its goal and reason for living will be very dry, tearful, cynical, will draw the worst out of us, but a world filled with love. Our abilities to witness to the love of Jesus. Our abilities to see it and to say, there it is, look. And our willingness and ability to live by faith, even as we help each other pick up the pieces of a shattered life that has no rational explanation as to why it happened. That's our privilege. That's our joy, because the Holy Spirit, breathed on us by Jesus, is ours to share. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As I mentioned, please come down the center aisle, receive the elements here, stay and kneel at the altar if you wish to pray. Everyone leaving their offering in that little rail there, and then depart and go back to your seats. Will those assisting with the sacrament, would you come?